Hey, it is a brand new week. Mason and Ireland show. John,
all sorts of stuff going on.
What'd you do this weekend? You play some golf?
Oh, yeah. Played golf. Went to dinner. Went to a good restaurant in Santa Monica.
Yeah, nice.
I know most people.
Were you socially distanced or were you,
bunched
up?
We wore masks. All the servers wore masks. The restaurant itself was socially distanced, but for the first time, we had dinner with another couple.
Ooh.
All four of us had been tested. All four tested negative, so we tried it. It went well. We'll see what happens this weekend.
Okay, good, good.
So we're two for two on weekend dining out experiences. I know you haven't tried it yet, right?
Have not tried it yet. Thinking about it for this coming weekend.
I got a couple of good places if you need them.
Cool. All right, so let's see. Where are we now? We're about to talk to Albert Breer for Monday Morning Quarterback, and we'll get an update on the NFL. But first, the bubble update, the NBA bubble update. We are now getting an indication that not all players are necessarily going to be going into the bubble. In fact, Davis Bertans from the Washington Wizards says he's about to cash in on a long-term contract, on a free agency deal. He's had a couple of ACL injuries. He's not going to go in for the short season.
And what's interesting about Bertans is that he's a free agent, and he's doing this with the blessing of the Wizards. The Wizards are looking at the long play. They're saying, we don't care what you do as long as you re-sign with us. You know, because if they would have taken a stand here and said, no, 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 we really need you in Orlando, don't let your teammates down.
Yes.
I think that would have perhaps turned him off. Now I think they got a chance to re-sign him. He's a pretty good piece for them. He averages 16, 17 points a game.
Good shooter.
He's a candidate for most improved player.
Yeah.
And he was in San Antonio, won a ring with the Spurs. He's the type of guy you'd want to consider your team for free agency. You know, the big one, Mace, I don't know if you saw this, that just dropped a couple minutes ago, is that Trevor Ariza, who I know a little bit, like a lot, former Laker, won a title with the Lakers in 09.
Yep.
He has elected to opt out of the Orlando bubble, and he plays for Portland. So if the Lakers played the Blazers in the first round, assuming this thing moves forward, which we're all kind of hoping for, the Blazers would be without Trevor, who's one of their most versatile, as you like to say, positionless guys.
Yeah, yeah. What is Ariza's? Because I didn't see this one. Ariza opting out. What's his reason for opting out?
Okay, so it's interesting. It's not COVID-related, and it's not Black Lives Matter-related.
Huh.
He has a window. He's in a custody situation, and he has a window of 1 month that he can spend with his young son. And, you know, obviously that was predetermined while ago, and that window is in July, and he doesn't want to miss it. So he's going to put family over team and spend the month with his young son.
Yeah, I mean,
Can't blame him for that.
No, no, not at all. Not at all.
He's a great guy, by the way.
Issues.
Really, really good guy. He's an L.A. guy, went to Westchester High, went to UCLA. You know, won a title with the Lakers in 2009, was a key part of that championship team, a starter on that team, and has really paved out a nice career for himself. He's played for six or seven teams, but he's an easy guy to root for. And if he wants to take that month to be with his young son, more power to him.
Meanwhile, I
wish him the best.
Lou Williams from the Clippers says he's 50-50 on playing out the rest of the season. He says, quote, because it looks like we don't care if we do suit up and we're having conversations behind closed doors. How much of this platform can we really use? So Lou Williams says he's 50-50, and that's based on Black Lives Matter and social justice issues. So it's going to be an interesting – is the day that you've got to opt out Thursday? You have to opt out by Thursday?
It's Wednesday, but they could extend it. And you know, there's talk as Orlando becomes a hotbed for COVID. There's talk, you know, Adam Silver has said from the beginning, we're going to reevaluate with all the new medical information that we get. I don't want to say I know anything because I don't, but my thought is they could extend that because they're getting new medical information all the time.
Right.
And say, hey, we'll give you guys another week to decide whether you want to go to the bubble. They don't want to have anybody force anybody to make a decision unless they have to. But they may need that time. They may need that lead time. So we'll see what the NBA announces. Hey, Mace, let me get this in because I know we have Albert Breer coming up and we're going to pivot to NFL.
Yep.
Bob Nightingale reporting the Players Union just voted against the MLB proposal. The vote was 33-5. So baseball has never been in more limbo than it is now. It appears Rob Manfred's only option is going to be to shove a season down the player's throat against their will, which he has the right to do.
Yeah.
But you wonder how the players are going to react to that.
Well, I mean, the players have all said, show me where to play. Just tell me where to show up.
Okay, so we'll get to that, too. Lots going on. Let's pivot to a very interesting story in the NFL. A column that Mason and I read every week is MMQB, which is written by Albert Breer, who is nice enough to give us a couple of minutes now. Albert, thank you for doing this, man. How are you holding up?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Everything's all right, man.
We're great. Let me jump in right here, because you mentioned in your column today, and I find this fascinating. Football, Albert, seems to, on the outside, be going full speed ahead here. They say they're going to play. They're going to play the schedule. They're going to play in their own stadiums. But you mentioned that at least two sources you have are talking about delaying the start of the NFL season. How realistic is that, in your opinion?
Well, it's more than two. You know, there are definitely teams that are in favor of the idea of pushing the season back a month. And, you know, I think, you know, it's really at this point, there are a lot of competing interests. And at this point, the league office has pushed back hard against it. And the league office wants to go forward and have the season start as and on the weekend of, you know, September 12th and the 13th. You know, part of the reason why the league office has been so adamant about it is that there are business interests for a lot of teams in play here. You know, where, you know, if you look at the teams actually delayed season payments at the end of this month. And so, you know, I think for some, it's the concern is if we start talking about the beginning of the season being pushed back, that could affect consumer confidence. Could that affect, you know, people making their season ticket payments? I think that's certainly a factor. But yeah, I mean, I think there are some teams that look at it and say, we have so many logistical issues over the next couple of months in trying to pull this off. Why don't we just give ourselves the extra month to try and get it right? They've got flexibility to move the Super Bowl. They've got flexibility to take the first month of the schedule and move it to the back end. You know, I think that there are some teams that are looking at this and saying, it just makes all the sense in the world for us to be patient, let the other leagues make their mistakes, and go forward a little bit slower than we plan to.
Albert, here's the thing, though. I mean, if you believe people like Dr. Anthony Fauci and epidemiologists and all that stuff, scientists, they all think that there's potentially a second wave that's coming later on in the fall. Wouldn't the NFL season be moving directly into that bullseye?
But what does it matter, though? I mean, like, here's the thing. Like, if that's coming, that's coming. The NFL is not avoiding that. You know, baseball, I understand, like, you know, okay, like baseball, maybe they look at it and they say, we want to be done by date X to avoid the second wave. Basketball and hockey obviously wouldn't have as much of a concern until you get the 2020-2021 season for those sports. For football, I mean, if you're going to come or it's not, you're not going to avoid it. You know what I mean? Like, it's coming in October, November, December. I mean, one way or the other, that's going to hit you. You know, and so you know, I don't really know that, you know, moving the season back is really going to adversely affect their ability to do business. You know, in fact, you know, I think, you know, getting a month off and then, you know, going back into lockdown or whatever, I don't know if that really does the league any good, you know. So I understand what you're saying, and I've heard that from a lot of people, but I just looking through it through the lens that a lot of these teams are looking through it with, you know, I don't know, you know, really, you know, how much you're really sidestepping by getting the season started on time to try to avoid any sort of second wave.
We're talking to Albert Breer, who is at Sports Illustrated and MMQB, and has written a long column, as he does every Monday, about the kind of current status of the NFL. Albert, I'm going to ask what could come across as a really naive question, but I don't understand how they're going to play football. I mean, Clemson had 23 people test positive for COVID. LSU, I mean, it seems to me that unless they've made a decision, and you would know better than I, that they're just going to live with tons of positive COVID results, that they're just going to say, okay, we're going to test, take those people off the field. they're going to move forward. But I don't know how you do that. What happens if a whole position group gets it? Explain to me just in basic terms, like I'm a third grader, how are they going to play football with COVID?
Hope and pray. honestly, guys, like, I think that's part of the argument for pushing the season back. The more information we have, the better. The more time science has to catch up with this, the better. If they start the season on October 1st or October 15th, maybe we have therapeutics. Maybe we have, I don't think we'll have a vaccine, but, maybe we have more information on where this thing is going in the winter. Maybe we have a better way to prevent it. Prevent it spreading. I don't know, but I mean, like, it seems to me like, buying the extra time would do that, like, would help you out in that way and would help you kind of get closer to a way where it is a little bit easier to manage the problems that come up with COVID. And so, look, I think that's one of the reasons why you haven't heard a firm date on when players are going to report for training camp. I think that's why a lot of the stuff about how the season is going to run or remain vague. They've talked internally, the league has, about expanding practice squads to 16 and coming up with some sort of special like COVID reserve list to deal with, the fallout like you're talking about, where entire position groups get wiped out. But they haven't brought any of this stuff to the union yet, which, tells me they're still trying to buy time for themselves. And, look, we know a lot more now than we knew a month ago. And I think the bet for the NFL right now in being patient and putting, the full scope of what they plan to do in the fall out there is that we will know more on, July 20th than we know on June 20th. And so, I think that's just, there's sort of, a hope here. And I know this is going to sort of, sound maybe a little pie in the sky, but there is hope there that we're going to know more months from now than we know now. And certainly that we'll know more in September than we know now. And so, maybe we'll have a better idea of how to handle it. But again, that flows right into the argument that backing the season up will be the smart thing to do.
Is the idea of fans, has that sailed in the minds of NFL people, or do they still believe that they're going to be able to have fans at their games?
Well, do you live in Texas or California?
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
I mean, like, it's just, I Texas went from 25% to 50%, but the rules now allow 50% stadiums. And I don't really know what changed between 25%. I think that's sort of the way it's going to look, though. If the season does get off, I think it's going to be a little awkward. And look, it's in the best interest of everyone, of the players and the owners, that they preserve every dollar of revenue they possibly can, because that's going to affect the 2021 cap, and it potentially, based on like having to borrow some of that money back to flatten the 21 cap, could wind up affecting what players are getting in 2022, 2023. And the ramifications here could be huge. And so, I think they're going to come to, and they've already sort of, discussed this. I think they're going to come to the determination that, we're going to do what we can locally in every place to try to recover the revenue that we can. And so, I don't think it's crazy to think of a scenario where you've got an empty stadium in New York week one, and then a full stadium in Dallas, with 50,000, people there whenever their home opener is in week two or whenever. I just think that's sort of the way it's going to go this year. And again, I mean, all you have to do is look at the state-by-state restrictions if you want to know which places are trending towards having fans in the stands in the fall, and maybe full stadiums by the end of the season.
All right, Albert, last thing for me. You cover this in your column. If we do have a season, let's think positively.
Yes.
And they do start in September, is Colin Kaepernick on a roster, in your opinion?
It's going to sound like a cop-out, but I think it depends on what he wants. What I mean by that, it's sort of, there are two pieces to that. Number one, we've seen the NFL sort of manufacture jobs for guys in the past, and it did happen quietly with Michael Sam to a degree. So, you know, I think the league office is motivated to get him back on the field. They would like to see it because it was sort of closed and ugly chapter for them. And there were people in the league office who really wanted that to happen 3 years ago. So if the NFL office does get proactive and they manufacture a job opportunity for him, does Colin Kaepernick look at something like that, think it's not legitimate, and decide he doesn't want to do that or he doesn't want to participate in that? So that's one sort of tricky element to what could be ahead. The other is, and look, like, I think this part's this is sort of, you know, an important kind of, you know, thing to look at too. If the opportunity presented to him is on low money with no guarantee of making a roster, is he willing to accept that? Because that's basically where he was in 2016. If you want to go back and look at it, the Niners could not trade him that offseason because nobody wanted to pay him what was on his contract. And then, you know, his roster spot was very much in question that summer. Now, he wound up starting most of the year, but, you know, there were a lot of questions about whether or not he was going to be on that Niners roster. And then he, you know, got benched during a game in December, and he wasn't playing very well at the end of that year either. And so I just think, you know, that's going to have to be part of the equation is, are you willing to come into a place where you're going to have to fight with, you know, the 40th, the 50th, the 60th guy in the roster for a spot on the team? And if you make the team, you're not going to make all that much. So, you know, I think those two things sort of are going to fall into it. I think an opportunity is going to present itself. I think it just sort of, you know, depends on A, how that opportunity is presented and how Colin receives that, and then B, whether or not he's willing to go into it. There's a decent chance that I may not make the team.
All right. Hey, listen, Albert, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks a lot.
We appreciate it. Great information.
Anytime. Thanks, Les.
All right. Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Yeah, I mean, I don't think the NFL has prepared for this moment.
seem like it, does it?
They didn't put it together. The NBA has been so careful about this. They have so carefully constructed the concept of this bubble, and they have got all of their T's crossed and their I's dotted, and they've got the best chance of success. I really think that the NFL should have looked at and should have considered a bubble concept, because the further they get into the fall, I think the more trouble they're potentially going to be in.
Okay, coming up, baseball has, the story has turned again, just in a matter of the last 10 minutes. Baseball is now completely up in the air. What is likely to happen now? We'll get into that next.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. John is a boy. Oh, interestingly, there's Don Henley, Boys of Summer. As a boy, John, I worked in minor league baseball.
Yeah, I remember.
And grew up in the game and loved the game of baseball. It's part of the fabric of my life. And my hope coming into this year was that after the pandemic was that somehow baseball would find itself as the first sport back. And conceivably, as from a marketing perspective, and from a leadership perspective, be able to sort of lead us out of this really dark time. Instead, today, the MLBPA, the Players Association, has voted down the latest offer from the owners, which means Rob Manfred is going to shove a deal down players' throats.
Here's a tweet from Buster Olney 15 minutes ago. The dominoes are now likely set to tumble. Number one, implementation of a short season by MLB. That's, what, Mace, what you were just talking about.
Yep.
Number two, some players choosing not to play. More on that in a second. Number three, players file a grievance, which is why they voted no today. They want to be able to sue. Number four, upcoming free agents get destroyed in the market. And number five, all major labor issues merely deferred to next spring. And he ends the tweet with mutually assured destruction. And I think he's right. I mean, Mace, there's not going to be another Bryce Harper contract where a guy or a Manny Machado contract where a guy gets $300 million. Mookie Betts was almost for sure going to get one of those. Now those are going to cease to exist. You know the owners are going to get together and just say, we're not giving those contracts anymore. And then it's going to force the players to take them to court to prove that they colluded. And we're all back to square one. And the owners make less money. The players make less money. And tell me if I'm being overly dramatic here. Remember when you and I grew up, you and I were little kids in the 60s, and so we first started watching sports, you know, and remembering sports in the 70s.
Correct.
In the 70s, boxing was gigantic.
Yes, it was.
We had Ollie Frazier, Leonard Hearns, Hearns Hagler. Like, we could have done
those
a whole
Ollie fights, John. The great thing was it was on free TV on Friday nights. Ollie would fight on ABC. Boxing was huge at that point.
Okay, another big sport that everybody looked forward to was horse racing. We had Secretariat and Seattle SLU and Affirmed and Aladar. And so this is all in the 70s. Well, what happened was that boxing and horse racing just fell off the map.
Yep.
Like, people stopped caring about them, kind of out of sight, out of mind. Could that happen to baseball? I never thought it could. But if they basically, like Buster's suggestion that some players are going to sit out a short season, like they're just not going to do it. If they have a throwaway season, where the players don't care and they're just mad at the owners and it becomes spite. Is it possible that football and basketball are just going to zoom by them and you know, basketball is going to be going on the same time as baseball? Could they be permanently damaging the sport?
Well, let me answer it this way. If there's baseball, there was going to be 60 games, right?
Yeah, I think he'll come in somewhere near that anyway.
You think so? I think he'll be under 50.
Shaken said, just tweeted, he thinks between 58 and 60 in that neighborhood.
Well, then that's exactly the same number of games they were offering anyway.
Right, but
if it's
not
60 games, that was the owner's final offer. In other words, are the owners going to counter with the exact same offer and say 60 games?
Yes.
Because otherwise, what was the stand for?
It's for what I said before. They want the right to sue. They don't think the owners negotiated in good faith, and they want to be able to file a grievance. And part of reaching an agreement would have been both sides agree not to sue. Now the players are going to sue.
But from a baseball perspective, it sounds
no different.
We're going to get the same approximately.
Between 50 and 60 games, I think you're going to hear tonight, maybe before the end of our show, that Manfred's going to mandate 50 to 60 games.
And from as a baseball fan, do I care that there's going to be a lawsuit after this? Probably not. I don't really care. I'm going to get 60 games or so, which is what I was going to get anyway.
All right, so here we go. Bob Nightingale.
Yes.
Manfred is scheduled to implement a 60-game season that will start July 29th, although no official announcement yet. So this is all about being able to file a grievance and sue, because they could have accepted that and taken a deal that would have covered them for this year and next year, but they didn't want to do it.
Okay, but does the average sports fan care if there's a lawsuit impending?
No, but he cares if guys sit out. And that's
going to be the key.
And that's what Buster's now suggesting, is that players not liking the way the owners handled this are just going to say, screw you.
If
for
a
example,
player like Mookie Betts for the Dodgers sits out,
by the
I
way,
would be absolutely furious. He's a free agent after this year. He may not get the money he was thinking he was going to get, but maybe he doesn't want to risk injury. Maybe he doesn't want to risk a season where he bats 240 or 250, just gets off to a slow start and can't quite dig out of it.
Doesn't want to lower his value.
If Mookie Betts doesn't play, first of all, it's a disaster for the Dodgers. But secondly, I lose all respect for Mookie Betts. All
right,
respect.
But he doesn't care if you lose respect for him. He's only making a financial decision.
Right, but I mean, in the same way, we still think
like Manny Machado doesn't care that none of us like him. He got his money.
Right, but in the same way that Manny Machado's legacy is, I'm not Johnny Hustle.
Right,
Mookie Betts' legacy is going to be, I wasn't willing to go to bat when baseball needed him most.
Right, but the difference is, Mookie Betts may not be able to cash in the way that Manny Machado cashed in. Mookie sitting out, I don't know how much money he's protecting, because I don't think there's going to be a $300 million free agent deal next year. Do you?
No. No, absolutely
not. I mean, we've seen three of them over the last 3 years. We saw Machado, we saw Bryce Harper, and we saw Gerrit Cole.
So then the question is, what's Mookie protecting?
Right.
Mookie's protecting a deal that isn't close to the deal that he might have gotten otherwise. So what is he protecting? If a significant number of players, John, choose not to play this season, then I think the damage is permanent. If everybody plays, if the stars all play, I don't think this leaves much of a mark. Now, I do think there's going to be a really ugly lawsuit afterwards. I think there's going to be difficulty in coming up with a collective bargaining agreement past 2021. But I don't think there's significant damage just based on this back and forth and a lawsuit and pending. If Stars sit out, then I think the damage is permanent.
Don't you think that there's a chance they do sit out just based on this? These sides hate each other. And when you're involved in a labor negotiation and you hate the other side, you don't want to do anything that would help them. And those guys all don't necessarily need this year's salary, those guys that make all that money. So what if a group of them collectively got together? What if Bryce Harper and Garrett Cole and Mookie Betts and Albert, who's the guy that the Angels just signed? Anthony Rendon,
right.
All say, you know what, as a show of solidarity that we don't appreciate the way we've been treated, we'll see you next year.
But here's the
I can see that happening.
Here's the sign of hope. I mean, the number of players who have just tweeted in the last week, knowing that they didn't expect the deal to come down. Tell us when and where. Bryce Harper, tell us when and where.
Mike Trout,
tell us when and where. They just want to know when to show up and where to show up. I think they're gonna play. I think the Stars
are
gonna play.
Yeah.
If they don't, it really damages the sport in a significant way. If it is a lesser than season, a season without Stars, a season without those players that everybody wants to see, if you're a Dodger fan, a season without Mookie Betts, the player we've been waiting to see in right field for the Dodgers, to me, that leaves a permanent mark and a permanent stain on the game.
I think this is going to be a very interesting 48 hours. And I think we're going to get the announcement of the season tonight, maybe before we go off the air.
Yeah. In fact, there's already speculation that the season, who reported this? I think it's Bob Nightingale. The season is expected to start, he's reporting, July the 29th, although no official announcement yet. That is 2 days before the NBA season would resume.
Did you see what happened in NASCAR today?
Let's
get into that coming up.
Yeah.
I think there's an extraordinary thing happening, and I'm not sure people are fully understanding it, but I'll tell you what it is coming up.
All right, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland, what is going on? It is Monday. We've talked about baseball's meltdown. We've talked about the NFL and sort of a disarray that they're trying to start their season in and maybe pushing it back. We've talked about the NBA bubble and how some players might not go into it. And there's a very, very ugly NASCAR story that has been going on for the last 24 hours.
All right, so NASCAR's at Talladega in Alabama, one of their most famous events. And Bubba Wallace, who is the only black driver on the entire NASCAR circuit, was getting ready for the race last night. It turned out to get postponed because of weather. They're running it today. And there was a noose discovered in Bubba Wallace's garage. And people are furious. The other drivers today, in an incredibly emotional scene, pushed Bubba Wallace's car out to the front of the line while he was in it. The other drivers... He put the car in neutral. The other drivers pushed his car to the front of the line, and then every crew member from every team, so all of the crew members, all the drivers, in a massive show of support for Wallace, simply walked behind him on the track, walked behind the car. If you haven't seen it, it is really something to see.
Yeah,
that's extraordinary. And Mace, it got me to thinking, I can't believe that one man, in this case Bubba Wallace, is, and what happened last night was obviously the worst with the noose, but one guy is moving the sport out of the dark ages. He's by himself.
Yeah.
And the shows were, it reminded me, and I you know, don't at me, because I know it was way worse for Jackie Robinson, way worse, at a time when this country was way more racist. But if you watch the movie 42, You have this incredible feeling of empathy for Robinson, because he was the one black guy in a locker room of 24 other white guys. So he was just taking the brunt of it. like people yelling N-word from the stands.
Sure.
People yelling, and what you gather when you watch that movie, and again, I can't recommend it enough. Harrison Ford plays Branch Rickey. Chadwick Boseman plays Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, it's a great, great movie.
It's just really well done. And the one thing that I noticed was there were guys that were against Robinson being on the team, and they all got either traded or released. They just, the Dodgers looked at those guys and said, all right, look, if you don't get it, we can't help you. You're gone. There was another manager on another team. Mace, it was played by a guy, I think it was on your podcast once, Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, Alan Tudyk.
Was just a racist manager screaming the N-word at Jackie Robinson while he was at the plate from the dugout. And that guy got fired and never worked in baseball again. And the feeling that came back to me today, watching those drivers stand behind Wallace and push his car out to the middle of the track is, this, you know, racial injustice has been around forever. We're not getting rid of it in 2 weeks. It's just not going to happen. All these racists are going to start coming out of the woodwork. But when they do, the fact that all of the other drivers basically said, you're not beating us, you can't win this, and the fact that the reaction to this is a massive manhunt, including the FBI for who put that noose in the garage,
sure,
has ensued. And so in all this hate and in that, as you put it, terrible story last night in Talladega, I see some light at the end of the tunnel. Because just like Robinson led baseball out of the dark ages, maybe Bubba Wallace is doing that for NASCAR. What do you think?
Well, can we just say something here? I mean, can we just have a moment of actual honesty? This is about the South, man.
Yeah.
This is about the South. I mean, Southerners will not let this go. They will not let go of their Confederate flag.
But
they
they're
will
not
let
win.
Go of their Confederate monuments. They just won't let go. NASCAR will not give this up. There was a plane flying over Talladega last night saying, defund NASCAR. I mean, there's something very Southern about this. And there should be an embarrassment. There should be a level of embarrassment and a level of shaming of the South. And I know there are probably Southerners who live in Southern California who would stand to defend the South and say, hey, we're not all like that. But the impression is that you are all like that. That's the impression of the South. This isn't happening. Hate crimes happen all over the country. But this is among the ugliest. And I hope this person goes to jail. I hope this person is criminally prosecuted and goes to jail. You cannot leave a noose in the garage of a black man and expect to get away with it. And there are cameras now, apparently, all over Talladega.
Everywhere.
They just completely redid it. So they're going to find out whoever this is. I hope he's shamed. I hope he's arrested.
Oh, that person's done. I mean, that person is, that's their legacy. Whoever gets exposed to be this guy, that's their legacy. It's like that cop in Minnesota. That's his legacy. You know, nothing else he's ever done is going to matter. And it just seems to me it's a fight they can't win. And maybe people outside of the South can see that and they can't see it yet. But watch the drivers today.
Sure.
Watch what happened. And those are the guys who are driving the cars. Those are the leaders of the sport. They ain't having it.
Well,
they're not. They're just not going to put up with it.
The other thing, John, is NASCAR has enabled this attitude
for a long time.
For a very, very long time. And they can't necessarily expect it to change overnight. NASCAR could have seen the light years ago. And they didn't. They enabled everybody that wanted to carry a Confederate flag. They enabled that attitude. And apparently the insults and the hate that was hurled at those drivers today as they walked out with Bubba Wallace was just awful. So that element exists in racing, and it is not, this is one of those ones, you know, we think everybody wave a magic wand and it's all better.
Nope.
This one is going to take years and years and years for these attitudes to change. And by the way, I don't know if they would have changed. You point out, Jack, I don't know if any of these attitudes would have changed or if anybody would have lit a fire under NASCAR's ass if they didn't have a black driver, if they didn't happen to have a black driver like Bubba Wallace. Would any of this be going on?
I don't think
they
so.
They have gotten rid of the Confederate flag?
I have a tremendous amount of sympathy for Wallace and what he's going through, and I think his legacy is going to be that he dragged NASCAR out of the dark age. And because in 20 years, you're right, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take some time here. But when it does, Wallace is going to be looked at as one of the pioneers of getting this done. Because just like Jackie Robinson when he came along to the Dodgers, there's going to be a lot more black drivers in the future. I mean, in 20 years from now, there's not going to be one black driver.
Right.
There's going to be – I watched Harold Varner compete for the last 2 weeks on the PGA Tour. He probably doesn't happen if Tiger didn't come along.
Right.
You know, and so I think Wallace is going to open some doors for some people. And hopefully – I just was really moved by those drivers. It reminded me of that scene in 42 where Pee Wee Reese, the Dodger shortstop who's in the Hall of Fame, was from Kentucky. And if you know, you and Lindsay know this because you're from Ohio, Cincinnati is right across the river from Covington, Kentucky. It's yep. like, you. I think, as a matter of fact, if you fly to Cincinnati, the airport's in Kentucky. So they're basically neighboring states.
Cincinnati's a lot like Kentucky in certain ways, John.
Right. Okay. So Pee Wee Reese, when he heard everybody in Cincinnati yelling the N-word at Robinson, he ran over from shortstop and put his arm around him. Jackie was playing first base. And everybody was like, wait a minute, we came here to watch Pee Wee. We came here to watch our homegrown Kentucky boy, and he's got his arm around the black guy. What's he doing? And Reese knew exactly what he was doing. When you and I used to go to Vero Beach, that's one of the pictures they had up on the wall.
Sure.
You know, and it's a famous picture that you know, you can just Google and look at on the internet. And by throwing his arm around Robinson, it was as if to say, look, we're with him, not you. And that's what those drivers did today with yep. Wallace. They, you know, we're with him, not you. If you want to cheer, if you want to cheer for us, you better accept him. And so that to me today was a sign that better times are ahead. But you're right, it's not happening overnight. That's for sure.
All right, we were. By the way, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but we're kind of messing around with the show right now. We're trying a bunch of different stuff,
to say the least.
So last week we did birthday of the day, and I think we decided that sucked. Did we not decide that sucked?
Well, we're trying something else this week, so we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, we're trying something called Radio Tinder. Radio Tinder, where John and I will either swipe left or swipe right on a story, and we will do that coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so let's do some Radio Tinder. Here's how this works. John and I will throw out a topic. We'll either swipe right and talk about it or swipe left and just let the topic stand. John, do you want to go first?
Sure. It's okay. All right. Wow, it's like a whole pre-produced music extravaganza.
Yes. Lindsay wrote that song.
Very exciting. All right, Mace. Jamie Foxx says his Mike Tyson biopic is finally happening. Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. That sounds interesting.
Okay, so Jamie Foxx has been working on this since 2014. He's had an idea to make a movie about the story of Mike Tyson with him in the lead. He now says it's a definitive yes. Doing biographies is a tough thing. Sometimes it takes some years to get it done, but we've officially got the real ball rolling. Foxx also teased some of the details. We want to show how everybody evolves. I think we lay the layers of Tyson in this story. I think everybody from young and old will be able to understand this man's journey. Now, as you know, Jamie Foxx was excellent as Ray Charles.
Oh, unbelievable.
How do you think he'll do as Mike Tyson?
You know, given the fact that he was so brilliant at the impersonation and the performance of Ray Charles, I'm going to put my money on Jamie Foxx and his ability to pull this off. And by the way, Mike Tyson is a fascinating personality. He's fascinating. Beyond boxing, he has been a fascinating guy to follow. And right to this day, where he's got like cannabis farms and he's got a cannabis business. I mean, he's been really, really interesting to follow. So I think it'll be a fascinating documentary or fascinating performance.
I agree. And Jamie Foxx had me at I'm doing a biography. I've said many times before, I think his portrayal of Ray Charles might be the best portrayal of another person I've ever seen completely in. All right, you're up.
All right. There will be an Emmy Award ceremony this year on September 20th, and it will be hosted by Jimmy Kimmel.
Swipe left. We don't know what this is going to be. We don't know what the country is going to look like in 3 months. We don't even know if we're going to have any TV shows. I'm out.
Okay.
What else you got?
Let's see. A man in Austria has been fined $564 for breaking wind at the police.
Swipe right. I want to hear more about this.
Man in Austria fined $564 for farting at the police after doing so at officers in Vienna. The police department said the suspect was already behaving in an uncooperative manner when he was approached by police. He then rose from a park bench, looked at the officers, and intentionally released a massive fart in the immediate vicinity of the officers. He was fined $564. John, is this a reasonable fine?
No, completely unreasonable. Everyone knows you can't always control it. Now, could he have toned it down?
He did seem to have one in the chamber here.
Yeah, could he have toned it down? Perhaps. But how much money did he get fined?
$564.
Yeah, that's an extraordinary amount to pay for a fart. What do you think?
You know, I think it's a high price to pay for a fart. And if I were fined $564 every time I farted in a day, I would go broke in a few weeks. Wouldn't you?
Yes. And so I would like to stand up for people that have less control than others. Extremely bad precedent fining someone for a fart. I'll just say that.
All right, John.
All right, Mace. Joe Rogan is in hot water because of comments he made 10 years ago. Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right.
Okay, Rogan, who, as you know, has the most successful podcast out there. His podcast is gigantic, and he just changed podcast companies. He's going to probably make over $100 million. Was doing it, there's a clip that's kind of turned up from his 2011 video podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience, and he can't contain his laughter as his guest, Joey Diaz, said female comedians exchanged sex favors in order to receive stage time while he was working at a comedy venue called the Belly Room. So Rogan didn't say the offensive comments. He just somewhat condoned them by laughing hysterically. Do you think this has legs? Is Joe Rogan in jeopardy of being canceled?
You know, he didn't say it himself. And there's a weird dynamic that exists. Like, for example, I'll just say this. Donald Trump was involved in that crazy, ugly incident.
That's actually a very good parallel. Are you talking about the Access Hollywood tape?
With Access Hollywood,
because
right.
Billy Bush is the one who ended up getting canceled.
Right. Billy Bush got canceled. And, you know, Billy Bush couldn't control Donald Trump. He couldn't change Donald Trump's behavior or his words. I always thought it was unfair to get rid of Billy Bush or to cancel Billy Bush. By the way, he's back. He's
right.
Doing, I don't know if he's doing...
And regardless, there are a lot of people that don't like entertainment reporters. Regardless what you think of him, he certainly didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve
to be
canceled.
No, he did not deserve that. He didn't deserve to lose his livelihood. So I would put Joe Rogan in that category. Should he have said, hey, wait a minute, that's not right, not cool, not a good joke? Yes. 10 years ago, not saying those words, I think, is enough for him not to be taken down.
You're right, it's a bad look, but I agree with you. Being an accessory is not the same as actually being the person that commits the crime. I think he's going to, eventually, this will go away. I think he's going to survive it. Okay. You're up.
Brand new college football game called the Duke's Mayo Classic in September.
Like mayo, mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise.
Oh, swipe right. I'm a big fan of mayo, and everyone hates it. What is happening with this?
Okay, it was announced last week that the annual bowl game held in Charlotte every year will be changed to the Duke's Mayo Classic. The Duke's Mayo Classic is scheduled for September the 26th at Bank of America Stadium. Notre Dame is playing Wake Forest. John, is mayonnaise The least appetizing name in all of sports.
No, I think mayonnaise gets a bad rap. I had a turkey sandwich yesterday with mustard and mayo, and mayo's fine. People, for whatever reason, get repulsed by mayo. Mayo is a perfectly functional condiment. I don't understand why. I don't understand the mayo haters. How about you?
I love a sandwich with mayonnaise. I especially make me a BLT without mayonnaise. It's not BLT. You gotta have mayonnaise on a BLT. I completely agree. Now, in terms of names of games, I think you can do a lot better than the mayonnaise classic. I don't think it sounds like the kind of game you want to go to.
Yeah, if you win it in your swag bag, do you get, like, bottles of mayo? That's not the best package you could get.
Maybe not the best package. So not necessarily a football game, but I will stand up for mayonnaise also. All right, there you have it. There's Radio Tinder for today. Coming up next,
Momo!
Momo is going to join us, the very latest on the NBA bubble. Who's in and who's out? There are a couple of players who have decided that they're not going to play in the bubble. We'll talk to Momo about that next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.